Tonight, I want to talk to you with the time I have remaining from the subject tonight, when God remembers. I just want to talk to you a little bit about when God remembers. Part of what's happening during this consecration is getting very quiet. Spirit is getting quiet, just kind of calming down, able to hear a little bit more from God, hear more of what the Lord is saying to me, hear what, how the Lord wants to direct me. But then in my quiet time, I'm hearing less about what's out there, but I'm reflecting more internally. I'm reflecting on what God has done. I'm seeing God in everything. And y'all know how it is when sometimes you can get just so spiritual, as pastor says, spooky deep, or first would say spooky deep, and you just start seeing God in everything. And I just started watching this show. I'm not sure how I ended up watching this Saints and Sinners show. And I'm sitting there, and they're killing each other, and I'm praying. I'm praying that, Lord, let them live. I'm praying and hitting them on the head, and I'm praying. Oh, Lord, lock the man in the trunk, and I'm praying for the man in the trunk. And I'm just looking for God and everything. I'm looking for God to rescue everybody and save everybody and save everything. And I'm sitting there looking for miracles on a TV show. And that's what happens when your spirit starts to get quiet and you start to get open. You just start looking for God in everything. You see the water moving. You're like, ah, yes, God, you're moving in that water. I see you doing things. And your spirit get quiet. But you start to really reflect on the things that God has already done for you. And with me, and much like many of you who are viewing, the Lord has done so much for us that we really couldn't count all of the blessings that God has done, right? If we try to take a stroll down memory lane, we really couldn't put all of what God has done in one testimony. That takes me back to when I was young, and we used to have testimony service. I think about when I was young, y'all, and we used to go to Bethel Tabernacle. Now, y'all, everybody who know me in this chat, that know Pastor Tyrus, yep, I'm saved, baptized, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, rolling under pews, speaking in tongues, all that good stuff. Got up with salvation, and I got up with salvation, learned how to make some money, so I got salvation. I got the spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Not none of them poor, broke Christians, but a Christian loving the Lord. Amen. And walking in the prosperity that God has ordained for me. But growing up, we went to Bethel Tabernacle. We used to fellowship. Our church would fellowship with other churches. And I remember going there, and you know, whoo, back in the day when you went to church, it wasn't like today. It wasn't quite like World Overcomers. It wasn't like these beautiful sanctuary that we have here with all of these beautiful chairs and the lights, camera in action, and AC in the summer and nice heat in the winter. In the winter, you smelled fumes because that's the kind of church we went to. You sat on the pew and you just prayed that your pants didn't snag a nail. But, you know, I remember stuff like that. And that's what made church church. Back then, I don't hate it. I don't curse it. That's what made church church back then. We enjoyed every minute of it. And one of my fondest memories of Bethel Tabernacle is when it was time for prayer. I remember as a young guy just standing there, you know, about knee high the pew, my face barely going over the pew, and we're looking, and they would start singing, "Remember Me." Oh, remember me. Many of you who are older like me, you know, oh Lord, remember me. And if Father, I stretch, you know, and we just go in. It took us a long time to get to the place where we started really talking to the Lord, but we were singing Remember Me. We had tambourines with no backs. It was just a wooden circle, a few jingles going around it. They kind of beat it. As a bad kid, I would bang it on the back of the pew, get in trouble. But yeah, that kind of stuff, it takes me back. It took me back to the idea that we was asking God to remember us. We were casting our petitions before the Lord during that time. And it took us sometime a long time to get to where we needed to be in our place of prayer, but we got there. And when we got there, there was nothing but rejoicing, but we had to go down a path of asking God to remember us. God, remember your promise. God, remember my sacrifice. God, remember what I've done. God, remember. And you might be saying, Pastor Tyrus, what does that have to do with where we are tonight? Tonight, we are right there at that place where Hannah has been unable to conceive children. If we start at 1 Samuel, the very first verse, we'll see that Hannah starts out. She's barren, all right? She was unable to conceive children. And in that time, we realized that the inability to conceive children, which is not something my wife and I are familiar with. We, you know, our first three children were back to back, 11 months apart. We have no clue what it is to be unable to conceive children. But you're looking at Hannah, and she's unable to bear or conceive. She's barren, the Bible says. And because she was barren, at that time, the woman was considered a failure. And the process was very difficult. Now listen, her barrenness became a social embarrassment. We're going to take Hannah's barrenness physically, and we're going to look at our barrenness spiritually. What is it that is barren about us that the enemy is trying to hold us hostage to and trying to cause others to criticize us because they don't see a fruit? Because they have fruit they're able to produce, but we're not able to produce in that, so they criticize us. Well, everybody can sing around you, but you can't sing. What's wrong with you? You can't produce. Everybody can drive, but you can't drive. What's wrong with you? Everybody can do this, but you can't do this. What's wrong with you? What is barren in you that the enemy is trying to make you believe that you can't measure up, or you start to feel bad because you can't produce in that area? So her barrenness was a social embarrassment. And we look at our lives as children of God. If we're not careful, we will allow our barrenness to become an embarrassment for us. All right? Verse 3, you know, she goes for the yearly sacrifice. Verse 4, I'm going up a little bit. We're talking about the love offering. Verse 5, Hannah receives a worthy portion. Elkanah is at the table with his wives, with Hannah and Peninnah. They are there together. Hannah and Peninnah, they're together. They're at the table. And now Elkanah is giving out portions to his wives and to his children. And he gives out a portion to Peninnah. But then the Bible says that he gives a worthy portion to Hannah. He gives her a portion because he loves her. There's a favor on her with her barrenness. So I want you to know something. I want you to park right here, and I want to tell you, and I want to prophesy to you and let you know, just because it seems barren does not mean that you're not loved by God. All right, that's important. Just because it seems barren, just because it's not producing right now, does not mean that God doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about me. It doesn't mean that God is not concerned about me. It just means it's not time right now to produce. All right? And it's funny how God chooses you and shows you favor right in the face of those who laugh at you because you're barren. Could you imagine Hannah sitting there? And Peninnah, she's getting her deal. You know, and the Bible says that she rubs it in Hannah's face. Yeah, you're barren. Yeah, you can't produce. Yeah, see, I got the goods. Yeah, I can have his children. You see what can happen here? And the enemy has a way of allowing people to rub stuff in your face, rub your barrenness in your face, not realizing that you've got the love of God already on you. Oh, I know, I'm getting excited, I'm moving quick. This thing, the Lord was speaking to me. I said, what, God? He's saying, yeah, let the people know. Just because they're teasing you, just because they're laughing at you, just because you don't have it right now, does not mean that you will not produce. I'm going to cause you to be fruitful in this season. I need you to type that in the chat right there. God's going to cause me to be fruitful in this season. He's going to cause me to be fruitful. Y'all typing it? God's going to cause me to be fruitful in this season. Even though the adversary provoked her, her enemy, Peninnah, she was her enemy at that point. She's provoking her. She's making her feel uncomfortable. She's making her feel discouraged. She's making her feel disheartened. She's making her feel like she doesn't deserve, she doesn't belong, she doesn't qualify. He's making her feel insignificant. That's what the enemy's job is, to make you feel like God is not and God has forgotten. And God don't, he's not thinking about you. But if you type in them comments, the devil is a liar. He's a liar and a defeated foe. Come on, somebody. He's a liar and a defeated foe. Look at this. So even though the enemy tries to make her feel like this, all right? Here it is. Verse 7. Peninnah pushed back to her plate, right? And she pushed it back to the place where Hannah wouldn't even eat. But Hannah remained at the table. Now, here's something, and it's so wild how Minister John was talking tonight when he was saying, stay in place, stay in position. When he was saying that tonight, I'm saying, God, I don't really have to preach because John is already saying it. He's already talking about it. When he says, stay in the place, Hannah remained at the table with the critic, with the one who was teasing her, with the one who didn't believe in her, with the one who was trying to point out her error or her inability to produce, she stayed right there at that table with her and endured it. Now, I want to help somebody who's like, oh, I just need to get out of here. I need to move. I can't take this no more. I can't do this no more. I got to go. No, no, no. You need to stay right there because God's going to use you to show the enemy that I'll bless who I want to. Last time I talked to you, I told you God swore by himself when he couldn't find no one greater to swear on. He swore by himself and he told Abraham, I swear I'm going to bless you. And here God does it again for Hannah. He's like, yep, just sit right there. It don't feel good. It don't feel like I want to deal with it. I don't really want to endure this. But you know what? I'm on consecration. I'm not even going to eat. I have to start consecration right now. I just lost my whole appetite. I need God to do this for me while I'm at this table. Stay in your place and watch God elevate you. Watch God move you right where you are. All right, so then the Bible says she stays there, pushed back her plate. Then she asked the Lord to remember her. But in verse 9, she asked the Lord to remember her in her bitterness. She was in her bitter place. And she says, Lord, remember me in my bitter place. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Where does your bitter place drive you to? That's a question I have for you. When you're bitter, when you're disappointed, when you don't understand, when it's not going your way, when you feel barren, when you feel like you're not producing, where does that drive you? Oh, yeah, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're streaming tonight. I'm glad you're watching because we're on consecration. And I'm telling you, where do you go when you're bitter? The Bible says that Hannah found herself in the house of God. She went to the temple. That's where Eli was. She went on to the temple. She said, you know what? I don't have to take this like Stephen Urkel. And she got up and she went on. She went on to the temple, led her to the temple. Now, when her bitterness provoked her to go to the temple, she didn't just go there to find somebody to talk to. She didn't go there to find her girlfriends. She didn't go there to get with the elders and deacons. She didn't go there. She went to the temple and was like, you know what? I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to talk to God. Second question I have. So the first question I'm asking you is where does your bitterness drive you? The second question I'm going to ask you is who do you talk to when you get there? So where's that bitterness driving you? And then who are you talking to when you get to where you're driven? The Bible says that Hannah's sitting in the temple and she's talking again. She's talking to the Lord. She's talking to the Lord. Her lips are moving. She's speaking from her heart, but nothing is coming out of her mouth. Not one word is coming out of Hannah's mouth. So the priest is looking like, what's going on? Are you kidding me, Hannah? Did you really let this woman drive you to drink? How long are you going to stay like this? How long are you going to stay drunk, Hannah? And Hannah's sitting there like, who are you talking to? I don't drink. I don't drink, Eli. I don't drink. I feel a little barren. I'm a little upset. I'm a little embarrassed, but I didn't pick up drinking because of that. She in the temple. So the prophet Eli, he's like, okay, all right, well, she responds to him. And she says to him, she says, no, Eli, we're not going to do that. She says, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not drinking. What happens is, that I'm bitter in my soul, and I came here to talk to the Lord. And it wasn't until she responded to him that he was able to reverse his conversation to her. When he sees her drunk, he accuses her. He approaches her and says that. But then she takes the time to set the record straight. Let me say this. Not only does she set the record straight, here is how she sets it straight. You will not call me like I'm one of the daughters of Belial. That is not my character. That is not who I am. That is not what I do. Irregardless of how much you think I'm a goody two shoes, you're still not. I'm not going to let you accuse me of being something I'm not. I'm not like them. But here's who I am and here's what I do. It was after she spoke up for herself to let him know who she was and what she stands for that he then turns around. And he becomes a priest. So he uses his priestly voice and he says to her, go in peace and the God of Israel will grant you your petition. And what I'm thinking is we're on consecration. We've been fasting. We've been praying. We've been believing. We've been talking to the Lord. We've been like, God, how are you going to do this? I believe you're going to do it. You said you're going to do it, but I still feel barren. God, you told me you would work it out, but I still feel barren. God, you told me you was going to open the door, but still closed. God, you said this was going to be my year, 2022. God, New Year's Eve, God, this presence of God fell. We felt your power. God, you used the man of God to talk about vision. God, you stirred us up. You put us in a new path. But why is it January 26, 2022, and some parts of me still feels barren? And God's like, because I need you just to get in the temple, talk to me a little bit. Tell me about it. Stop telling everybody else. Tell me about it. Pray to me about it. Forget everybody else. Pray to me about it because I'm the only one who can make things grow. I'm the only one who can speak to your barrenness and cause increase to come. Yep, you're going to need the voice of a prophet, so you're going to have to hear the pastor. Thank God we're a church that has a fivefold ministry all wrapped up in one person. Our pastor, God knows he operates in the fivefold without hesitation. The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, he operates without delay in all of them. But then we're also gifted. We have these gifts right here in the sanctuary. You're going to have to hear the voice of the prophet. You're going to have to hear it both ways. The voice of the prophet who's asking you and then the voice of the prophet who's commanding you. Same prophet, two different things. Here it is. Go in peace, right? She's sitting there, and the Lord, she goes on. Sorry, let's go on to verse 18. The voice of the Lord changed the inside of Hannah's womb. Her countenance changed, and she began eating again. Verse 19, she got up the next morning and worshiped God with her husband. When she worshiped God with her husband, the Bible says this, that the Lord remembered Hannah. He remembered Hannah. You know why he remembered Hannah? Let me tell you why he remembered Hannah. He remembered Hannah because she had the right conversations. Her conversations were with God. She had the right conversations. She had the right response when the prophet told her what to do. She had the right response. She got up and she went on. She got herself. She dusted herself up. She was like, okay, all right, I'm going to eat now. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to move on. And then she saw the right results. When God remembers, all three of them will be yours. You have to have the right conversations. Then you have to have the right response. You'll see the right results. And the Bible says this, that when the Lord remembered Hannah. What are you saying, Pastor Tyrus? What I'm saying is you can't be worried, my brother, my sister, about what you don't see right now. You have to be confident in what the word says about you. He that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began the good work inside of you, and he's going to perform it until he's done with you. And I got news for you. God is nowhere even close to being through with you. He's nowhere even close to being done with you. He's nowhere even close to being finished with you. It's important that you understand that God will do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. We call that God's sovereignty. He's sovereign. He does what he wants when he wants. And I want you to know something. Right now, God's going to remember you. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going to remember you. Just like I remember that childhood. Just like I remember them wooden benches. Just like I remember them singing Remember Me. Just like I remember them tambourines. Just like I remember wearing dress shirts with the butterfly collar as a little boy. Just like I remember all that stuff. Oh, yeah, but then God remembers me. Yep, I went through a season. We all go through seasons where you feel barren, where you feel like you're not producing, where you feel like, God, what's going on? Like, God, this is not what you said. God, this is not what you promised. No, God, this is not what it's supposed to look like. And God's like, yeah, I got you, though. And that's what God wants me to let somebody know tonight, that I've got you. And he's going to remember you. And when God remembers you, you know, when people do something for you, that's one thing. But when God does it for you, it's a totally different thing. No one can say, yeah, I did this for Hannah. Oh, I did this for Hannah. Yep, I did this. Yeah, they may have been a connection for her. Yeah, they may have got her to the temple. Yep, they may have whispered a word. The priest may have whispered a word. But God did the work. And in you, my brother and sister, God's going to do the work. That's right. We're touching and agreeing tonight. We're believing that God's going to do the work. All you have to do is stay at it. Keep praising. Keep rejoicing. Keep thanking God. Stay in your word. Stay fast. And I know it's hard. Listen, y'all, I know it's hard. You know, I know it's hard. We was iced in this weekend. Lord, we was iced in. And I was upstairs. And I think I was starting to watch that show a little bit. And all of a sudden, I smelled bacon. And I said, Lord, the devil has come to my house. Because he know I'm trying to stay away from bacon. And it wasn't the devil, y'all. It was mother. It was my wife. She decided she wanted bacon. And I said, Lord, we 20-something days in. Must thou tempt me with evil? And I went on downstairs. And mother said, yeah, what do you want? You want cereal? You want some grits? You want some eggs? Would you? Oh, I even made some bacon over there. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You not having bacon. I said, well, Lord, remember me. Because I know that I'm into this fast. And I want to fast. I want to stay on course. And that's my sacrifice. That's my sacrifice to the Lord. That's what I'm giving up. Not saying you should. What I am encouraging you to say is that there are times when you just want to be like, I can do it this once. I can do it. Ain't nobody going to know. Ain't nobody going to see. But then when I ask God to remember me, I don't want him to be like, yeah, remember that time when you said, yeah. And I know he doesn't count our sins against us. And definitely he doesn't count our sins against us. But I'm sure he understands he knows our actions. He knows our capability as humans. He knows our capabilities as individuals. So as we struggle through and we plow through and we keep moving and we navigate these feelings, whether they be barrenness or at times when we just don't see God doing it for us just yet, those are the times when you'd be like, all right, you're going to sit down. Like, all right, God, on this consecration, all right, God, I'm here, I'm waiting, because I realize that you're the only one. God, you're the only one that can make sure that I produce, not later, but now. I want to produce now. I want to produce in this season. So I'll do whatever it takes. So if I have to stay away from a little bit longer, I'll stay away from a little bit longer. If I have to fast a little bit longer, I'll fast a little bit longer. If I have to pray a little bit longer, I'll pray a little bit longer. If I have to go to the temple and everybody's smiling and I'm crying, it's okay. I'm going to smile. I'm going to cry. I'm going to do it all. But God, I'm going to stay right here until you talk back to me and tell me, yep, you remember me. And tonight I want to encourage you. We're fasting. We're praying. We're believing the Lord for some stuff. And even though we're believing God, I know. I'm telling you what I know. You can feel barren, but I want you to keep believing. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. Don't move. Even though it might seem like, I don't know. Maybe that's not the path. Nope. Stay the course. The Bible says it like this, that the race isn't given to the swift, nor the battle given to the strong. But the one that endures to the end. Tonight, I want you, my brother, my sister, to keep fighting. Endure to the end. Don't haste to give up, but stay the course. Run the race. Be faithful. See what God has for you. Stay in the scriptures. Stay in the word. Believe God and watch God answer you and remember you. And you'll have the testimony of Hannah. Yep, the Lord has done this thing. The Lord has given me my Samuel. And when he gives you your Samuel, you'll be able to testify to the world that God has done this for me. If you heard something that blessed you, I want you to just type amen in the comment section. If you heard something that blessed you, amen, 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 amen. The word is for you tonight. But God's remembering you. He is remembering you. I want you to know that God is remembering you. And as you sacrifice these days, whatever you've given up to the Lord, whatever you've decided to make your sacrifice, I believe God is going to honor that. And as you're sacrificing of your body, as you're sacrificing of your time, as you're sacrificing some of the things that you like to do, I want you to also sacrifice financially and give to the work of the kingdom. Let's give to the vision that our senior pastor has laid out for us so wonderfully. Victory Park is a massive vision, and we all are going to take part in it. And you know what I'm most excited about? Something that our pastor says when he talks about Victory Park, and he talks about the basketball courts, and he talks about the soccer fields on the outside, and he talks about the food trucks, he even talks about the fitness aspect and the counseling aspect of it. All I keep seeing is a bunch of souls coming to a facility where the presence of the Lord will be living, where the presence of the Lord will be resting, and that their lives can be changed. They can be on the court trying to work out some stress and maybe practicing and getting ready for tournaments, and God's answering stuff at their house. I just believe that. I believe that Victory Park will offer that. I believe that as they get on the grounds, as they're driving up into the main entrance of that whole campus, that they will begin to receive victory and begin to experience victory in every areas of their life. Well, in order for us to see that, we have to give to it. So join me tonight in giving. Let's give to it. The QR code is right here on the screen for you. Make sure that you're giving to it. If you have not made a pledge already, I'm going to encourage you tonight to make a pledge. My wife and I have pledged, and pastor's been talking. I'm like, okay, God, I'm like David, make haste, oh God. Hurry up, God. I want to do it again. I want to do another pledge. I want to pledge more. I want to give more, because I believe in the work that God is doing through our senior pastor, through our church here, and I believe the souls are going to be saved, and the kingdom will grow at our sacrifice. Won't you give? I'm going to pray with you now. Father, we thank you because you give seed to the sower. God, we thank you because we've never seen the righteous forsaken. We've never seen his seed beg for bread. And God, we know that because we are making this sacrifice to your kingdom, that you'll look out for our houses. You'll look out for our families. You'll look out for our children. God, you'll take care of us, that no need that we have will go unmet. God, that we will not see barrenness much longer, but God, we'll be fruitful. We will multiply, and we will have more than enough in the coming seasons. We thank you for it now. We declare it done. In Jesus' name, we all type together, amen, amen, amen. I'll see you Sunday morning, 9 a.m. new members class, 10 a.m. morning worship. We can't wait to see you right here, 2933 South Miami Boulevard, Durham, North Carolina, or right back here online at worldovercomers.church. God bless you.